the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, well, we have the wedding feast of Cana, and the theologians teach that this is the time when our Blessed Lord instituted the holy sacrament of matrimony. And today I would like to speak to you about this holy sacrament. We must first start with creation itself. Creation has as its single motive the glory of God. If we think about God in his essence, he could have existed without having created anything. And we should think about that from time to time. God without any creation at all. Just an infinite being that never had a beginning and will never have an end, and for whom there is no time, no movement, no passage of events. And he found all of his happiness in himself before creation. And so the single purpose of creation is the glory of God. So every creature must glorify God in order to justify its existence. Because you no longer have a purpose of existence if you are not glorifying God. With original sin, men could no longer fulfill their purpose for existence to glorify God, and therefore became liable to eternal damnation. And so creation became stained by the sin of Adam, not only human beings, but all creation with it participated in the punishment of Adam and his sin. Disorder in the world, the reason why we have hurricanes and tornadoes, all of this came as a result of original sin. But God so loved men that he wanted to restore his creation to its original splendor, and once again to give the possibility of attaining eternal salvation. So that human beings would not be a cursed race, a race that had no reason for existence, a race that should be shunted off into the refuse of the universe. God did not want that, and hence he sent his only begotten Son to redeem mankind, and through the sacraments to apply to men the fruits of his redemption. That's our holy Catholic faith. And that started immediately after the sin of Adam, in what we call the first gospel, or the proto-evangelium, in which God promised a Savior. And it is in this verse of Genesis where it says, where he says to Satan, "A woman shall crush thy head," meaning the Virgin Mary, who by the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and by being the Mother of God will undo the damage that Eve did in creation. And as Eve lured mankind into sin, our Blessed Lady lures them to her beloved Son and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, marriage is a participation in God's creation. The primary purpose of marriage is the procreation and education of children. This is the solemn teaching of the Catholic Church. The primary purpose of marriage is the procreation and education of children. And indeed, everything about marriage points to that. The secondary purpose of marriage is the mutual aid that the spouses give to each other, the friendship. But the primary purpose, and we must say the reason for even the distinction of the sexes, is procreation and education, and by education I mean upbringing, training of the children. And that's why the Catholic Church teaches that any attempt to deliberately thwart through artificial means the procreation of children is immoral and seriously immoral. It is a mortal sin. And if we can believe the polls, which are always consistent, there's only approximately 10% of those who attend the Novus Ordo who believe that it is immoral. 90% say that artificial birth control is something perfectly acceptable in the eyes of God, and most of them practice it with the blessing of their Novus Ordo clergy. But it is horrid in the sight of God. God struck Onan dead for doing that. Struck him dead for that horrid sin, because in holy matrimony and in procreation, human beings, in a way, touch God, because they participate in God's act of creation. It is God who makes the human soul, not the parents. It is God who makes that soul. The parents merely present to him a baby in whom to infuse the soul. And in that way, you participate with God in something that is so precious in his eyes that he sent his only begotten Son to redeem the souls of those little babies. And how dare any human being trespass against God and his act of creation by their selfishness and their filthiness in the act of artificial birth control. And they deserve to be struck dead. And if they are not struck dead in this life, they will spend an eternity in hell for it, unless they repent of their sins before death. Couples, therefore, come primarily in marriage in order to glorify God by procreation. Because creation, as I said, needs redemption, so parents also come together with God in redemption. Creation in original sin does not glorify God, but it must be redeemed. Only redeemed creation glorifies God. In other words, why bring children into this world if they are only going to go to hell? What would be the purpose of multiplying the human race if all of these people are merely going to go to hell, which was the sentence upon the human race, without redemption? Why would there be any rejoicing at a wedding without redemption? Without the blood of Christ that washes our souls of sin. And so Christ, St. Paul says that the sacrament of matrimony is an image of Christ's fidelity to the church. And Christ was so faithful to the church and so loved the church that he washed the church in his blood. And as I have told you before, St. Alphonsus Liguori says that there was a single reason why our Lord died such a death, the death of scourging and crowning of thorns and being nailed to the cross and bleeding to death on the cross. There is a single reason, and that is his love for the church was so intense that that was the only way in which he could manifest it in a dignified and worthy manner. For one single good act of Christ would have redeemed the whole human race. A single good act. But only that act was equal to the intensity of his love. And how does the church love him back? Martyrdom and the carrying of the cross. That's how the church loves him back. The greatest act of the church is its martyrdom, to give your life to God. in witness to the truth of his faith. And so the blood of martyrs is mixed with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in a union of love. Saint Teresa of Avila said it. She said, in this life, we must either suffer or die. We must either suffer for Christ or die for Christ. Either to suffer or to die. That is the way in which we must love Christ. He has loved us so much. And therefore, Catholic parents must participate in the redemption, even if they don't have children. What marks their marriage is sacrifice. They come to the altar of God on wedding day with the promise to sacrifice one for the other and to offer their life of sacrifice one for the other to God as a holy sacrifice in imitation of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which he loved the church and washed the church in his blood. That is Catholic matrimony. And if God blesses them with children, they must not merely procreate and let the children run amok, but they must help God, so to speak, cooperate with God in the redemption of those children by applying to them the law of God as they grow up. So that the waters of baptism, which is effectively the blood of Christ, are not wasted upon them, but are the beginning of the carrying of their cross, the daily carrying of the cross, in order that the redemption can take effect in them. And so that is Catholic parenting. That is the Catholic education, the upbringing of children. So every single act of the education that they apply to the children, their upbringing, must be in view of the application of the redemption. And this consists in correcting the effects of original sin. It means that they must see to their catechism, their instruction in the one true faith. It must mean that they must give example of supernatural virtues. They must give examples of piety and lead their children to the altar of God, or merely to kneel down at their beds at night and to say their prayers. This is what parents must do. Not necessarily shower them, or not even shower them, with material things or distractions. This is what Catholic parents must do, is give their children the supernatural life of grace. And so your marriage ideally begins with the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Catholic Church always would prefer the nuptial Mass. And so the first thing that the spouses do once they are married is attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass. For that is the key to their whole marriage. It is to see the sacrifice that Christ made for his church and to learn that they must sacrifice both for each other and for their children. That they are very much picking up a cross that day. A cross that they will carry perhaps for 50 or 60 years. And sure, marriage has its joys, but everything in this life has its crosses. Everything does. And it's the crosses that bear the fruit of merit. So let Christ then be the king of your married home. Let the law of Christ prevail, not the world with all of its worldly dictates upon you of how much money you should make and what you should be showering upon your children and all of the politically correct attitudes you should have. Just shun those things and push them out the door. Let Christ be the king of your home. For unless he be the king of your home here, you will not reign with him in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.